2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7. This is the word of God. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is God's word, and we give thanks to him for it. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, then please do open at that passage in 2 Corinthians 4. Throughout this little Easter series, we've been thinking about the King in all his beauty. And tonight, we're coming again to think about the King. And so I've got one thing that I want you to remember, one big thing to take away. And here it is. As goes the King, so goes his people. As goes the King, so goes his people. Let me pray. Father, we come to you now, asking for your help as we turn to your word. Would you encourage our hearts as we consider the resurrection hope and the path of the King? We ask this in his name. Amen. So here we are. It's Easter Sunday, the day whenever I would say, he is risen. And you might respond back by saying, he is risen indeed. It's the high point of the Christian calendar, the day whenever we think about the bright dawn after the darkness of the Friday before. And maybe you're here and you know that that's good news. You know it's good news. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God and you have received him as your Lord and Savior. But tonight, it's hard. It's hard. And with all that's going on in life, you are tempted to lose heart. Maybe it's the pain of another year and your health has not improved. Maybe, in fact, it's got worse. Maybe it's the job that you've just found out is now uncertain. Perhaps you've been looking to get employment for months, maybe even years. Still haven't found anything. Maybe you've just found out the news of someone's diagnosis that you love dearly. Maybe another month has passed and you haven't fallen pregnant. Maybe you have kids and raising them is hard. Perhaps neighbors are not easy to get on with. Maybe there's been a family tragedy or a death. Maybe your spouse has walked out on you. Maybe your parents have split up. And it's hard. It's not easy, is it? Not easy at all. Maybe that wave of grief has just swept over you again. And tonight, here you are, and we say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. And yet, you know, that is still hard. Still hard. So as you gather on Easter Sunday, and as we think about how Christ is risen, He is risen indeed, what might He say to us, those who are weak and those who are weary? Afflicted? Yes, we can resonate with that, whether physically, relationally, or emotionally. Perplexed? Yes, maybe that's how you feel this evening. Perplexed would sum up exactly where you are. What about persecuted? For some of you, that is what you know. You know persecution. What about struck down? Maybe you have been dealt a blow that has nearly taken you out. Well, you are in good company, aren't you? For the Apostle Paul felt each of these. And he says that it's the reality that the believer should expect. Look at what he says, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, who are these jars of clay? Well, that's the believer. That's the Christian. We are the jars of clay, weak and easily broken. And yet that's God's point. That is God's plan. He puts the treasure, the glory of the gospel in these jars so that the jars do not take away from the treasure. And as we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, people are not impressed by us. No, they see that the power belongs to God. And so we echo Paul's experience, don't we? Afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We feel our weakness. We feel the misery, and yet it is not without hope, is it? For it's not as bad as it could be. It's as if we're just held together by that one last thread. The one last thread that holds us together, and yet that one last thread that holds us together is strong, for it is God's power. And so, we are still held together. A weak and unimpressive clay jar, but a jar that still holds the treasure nonetheless. And because the clay jar isn't impressive, well then all the attention goes on the treasure itself. And that's what we see in verse 10, isn't it? Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You see, the life of the believer is marked by the pattern of Jesus' life. Each of the blows that Paul experiences, and if you know the story of Paul, you will know that he experiences many, many blows. But Paul sees them as part of his sharing in the death of Jesus. But he knows that it's through these that the resurrection power, the life-giving power of God is on display in his life and in ours. Verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul is saying that this is how God works. This is how God works. We experience this constant dying so that the life of Jesus might be seen in us. David Gibson, a minister in Trinity Church in Aberdeen, says it like this. He says, the message is mapped onto the messenger. The message is mapped onto the messenger. God makes us, his people, weak in order to show his resurrection power and work in us. The Christian message is one of death leading to life. Christ Jesus laying down his life on the cross so that his people would have their sins forgiven and that they would inherit eternal life. But not just that. Not just that, his people following the same pattern, laying down their lives so that others might come to hear the good news of the gospel, to see the good news of the gospel as it is mapped onto your body, onto your flesh, onto your family, and that they too might come to know that life through Christ Jesus. This is the pattern. This is the pattern of Christ, and Paul is showing us this evening that this is the pattern for his people to follow while they're here on this earth too. If Jesus is your king, well, then you follow him. You follow him. As goes the king, so goes his people. That is what we are to expect. As goes the king, so goes his people. But although our experience now is one of affliction, of being perplexed, of being persecuted, of being struck down, it is not always going to be the case. And that's what I want to leave you with tonight. Look at the great hope that the believer has. Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. This is what the Christian who is finding things hard this Easter, needs to keep in view. This is what we need to see. Know that he who raised the Lord Jesus, and remember this is Easter Sunday, he is risen. He is risen indeed. He really did rise from the dead. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise you to eternal life and bring you into the presence of Jesus. This is the hope, the sure and certain hope of the Christian. And this sure and certain hope of resurrection life changes how we face all that comes our way in this world. Listen to what he says, verse 16. So, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Yeah, look down at your body. Have a good look. It might be riddled with disease, or it might just be getting older or wrinkly. Maybe you're noticing increasing aches and pains. Wasting away is our reality, isn't it? And yet our inner self is being renewed. God is sanctifying us, making us more like Jesus. And one day we will get this new and glorified body. Yes, this is our reality now. Absolutely, have a look. But then look at what's to come. Look at what's to come. Verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Look at how Paul teaches us to see. Look at how Paul teaches us to see all the blows, all the suffering, all the affliction now. He says, see them as this. Light, momentary, transient, compared to weighty, eternal glory to come. Paul teaches us to take our eyes off what we can see now and to put our eyes to the things that we cannot now see. Look to the world to come. For that will enable us to not lose heart. That will enable us to keep going. The worst that hits us now is like being hit with a feather in comparison to the lead-like weight of glory that is to come. And that is how good eternity will be. That is how good the resurrection body will be. Christ Jesus already has his. He has already been glorified. If Jesus is your king, well, then you will follow him. You will follow him in having a resurrected, a glorified body. As goes the king, so goes his people. As goes the king, so goes his people. And so let me ask you the question tonight. Let me ask you the question. Is Jesus your king? Is Jesus your king? Maybe you've been listening to the pattern of death and life and to what Christ has done by dying on the cross for the sins of his people. But perhaps you're here and you've never given your life over to Christ. You've never given your life to him. Well, unless you give your life over to him, submitting to him as your king, then you have not experienced his resurrection life, his resurrection power at work in you. But let this be the night. This is a good night to hear his call that says, come and follow me and give your life over to him and to the message of the gospel. For then and only then will you be able to face the trials of this life with a whole new perspective, seeing that the life of pain and suffering is part of God's way of sharing the gospel, of sharing the gospel through you as he maps the message onto the messenger. But also, how the worst that you experience now, the worst that you experience now is light, momentary, and fleeting in comparison with the glory of what is to come in the presence of God. Because for the Christian, this is as bad as it gets. This is as bad as it gets. And there is sure and certain hope of the resurrection life to come. If you're a Christian this evening, do not lose heart. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. As goes the king, so goes his people. This is the Christian's certain hope. Wonder, is he your king? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you indeed are a God who speaks. Lord, thank you for how this passage shows us the pattern of the king, death first, and then resurrection life. And that is the pattern his people should expect. Death first, and then resurrection life. Lord, might each of us leave following Jesus as our king with that sure and certain hope of resurrection life and that steely resolve to live now in his power. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.